Well, good morning, Howard.
Good morning, Gary.
Thanks for joining us this morning. I certainly appreciate your time, and we're going to have a great conversation this morning. As I mentioned to you before, I have four grandchildren, all under the age of 10, so I'm especially interested in the conversation that we're about to have, and I'll let you do most of the talking. You're an advocate for children wearing helmets in the car helmets, for their protection, so I'll let you elaborate on that, Howard.
Absolutely. Gary, it's an honor to be here, and I appreciate you letting me come on. You know, what we're all about is preventing traumatic brain injuries in children. I'm a trial lawyer, and I've specialized in serious injuries for over 30 years, and I've personally, sadly, seen the tragedy of lives that are forever altered and families that are literally destroyed hundreds, maybe thousands of times. And you know, the way this came about, really, is if you think about it, almost every dangerous activity that a child participates in, skateboards, bicycles, baseball, football, karate sparring, motorcycles, I mean, heck, even bull riders wear helmets, you know, is they're wearing helmets. And, you know, when I was a kid, kids didn't wear helmets on bicycles, but now it's such a common occurrence that when a kid gets on a bike, they just normally put on a helmet. And one reason that's important that I mentioned that is there's two things that highlights the fact why it only makes sense that a child would be safer wearing a helmet in a car. Two facts. One is, according to the Center for Disease Control, the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries in this country for children under five are in car wrecks, and mostly when they're in car seats. Sadly, I have seen preventable injuries, you know, four, five, six people in a car, they get rear-ended, nobody gets an injury, but the child ends up in the emergency room with a fractured skull or traumatic brain injury. Now, there's been other studies by not only the Center for Disease Control, but the Pediatric Association that shows when helmets were mandated for bikes, the traumatic injuries for brain injuries in children went down 75% and fatalities went down 85%. And so both as an attorney and through the charity that we formed back in the 90s, I'm really on a quest to eliminate traumatic brain injuries in children. I mean, I've seen these harmful effects, and I think that we can make a difference. And our mission is to educate parents so that the kids are motivated to wear helmets in car seats, and we give helmets away for free by the thousands. I mean, hey, look at it this way. Race car drivers wear helmets. It only would make sense that kids would. And so my goal as an injury lawyer is to never have another brain injury child case.
Wow, that's, speaking of cases, that's quite a case you just put out there. I pretty much thought that the laws now mandate that children are in the safety car seats, and I guess what you're telling me is that that's not enough.
No, it's absolutely not enough, and that's been proven time and time again. The studies by the Pediatric Association prove that.
So what kind of a helmet are we looking at here, Howard? Is this a helmet that's currently available out there at Target and Walmart, or is it a...
Yeah, they're the same helmets that you would buy. They're very well designed. They're the same helmets you would buy for a bicycle or a skateboard or anything like that, you know, and this day and time, they're very modernized. They're very, very well built. You know, it's the kind of helmet, if you went to a bike shop, it would be $49.95. If you went to, you know, some of the other stores, it would be $29.95. You might get it at Walmart for $19.95. And we buy them by the tens of thousands. And so when people donate to our charity or we do fundraisings, I can put a helmet on a kid for under $6. So, and I tell people, $5, I'll put a helmet on a kid. No, and I was just saying, what we do is we call our Heads and Helmet Program, which is headsandhelmet.com is the webpage, but we call our program Helmets for Life because child comes to us, we don't care how old they are, what they're going to wear the helmet for, we don't care the social economic level, we don't care, you know, if their parents can afford it or not. We put a helmet on their head, and then we send them a birthday card every year with their picture on it, reminding them to come get a new helmet, and we provide a helmet if they get in a little crash and ding it up or they outgrow it. We provide a helmet at no charge at any time.
You know, I could see my grandchildren right off the bat fighting this just because you're telling them to do it. What kind of a response are you getting from children? Are the children wearing these helmets?
That's the whole point is, first of all, I'm not an advocate for mandating. because I don't think, you know, people have enough government in their life.
Right,
they're told
right.
to wear a seatbelt. They're told to do this. What we do is we throw a big festival. We also go to communities, churches, schools, health events. We go to them by the dozens, and we give out helmets. But when we go, we take skateboarders, we take people on bicycles, we take police officers on motorcycles, police officers on horses, military. They bring in their helicopters and firemen. And what we do is we want kids to know that helmets are cool, and we want them to want it. And so we have stickers. They can decorate the helmet the way they want. We have people there to paint them. So, you know, you're putting your child in the child safety seat. You don't say, here, you got to put on a helmet. You go, hey, you want to be a race car driver or a karate girl? And I have parents tell me that they're so excited they don't want to take the helmet off. They wear them in the shower. And so that's what we're about, is showing kids that helmets are cool.
Yeah, that's another thing, getting the kids to take a bath, although they like that. So, yeah, this is fascinating. I mean, I certainly agree now. I am very, very old, and I grew up when we barely had seatbelts in the car. I just sat in the back seat, and my safety, the only thing stopping me from getting hurt was the padding on the back of the seat.
we built ramps and jumped over cars with our bicycle because we wanted to be Evel Knievel, you know?
Right.
So,
but you are finding that the you know, if the parents handle this correctly, the children will gladly wear the helmets then.
There's over 300 entries in the parade. It's our 193rd year, and yet our law firm, through the charity, is in the parade. They cheer for us. We've got, you know, these bright yellow shirts with our logo. I don't know if you received our book or anything.
No.
Our logo is the Scales of Justice turned into a smiley face. And everybody's wearing yellow shirts, and we give out helmets, and the crowds cheer us, and they get really excited with us. We have a lot of support in some of the community centers and the churches and the schools. We go in everything from special needs schools, kindergartens, middle school, and they know us as the helmet people, and a lot of times they call me the kids lawyer because I handle a lot of children's cases. Unfortunately, most of them are brain injuries, but... You know, we're just all about letting them see us and letting them see how much fun it is. We've got people skating in the parade today wearing helmets. And, last week we were in the Tybee Island Irish Heritage Parade. And so we're getting the message out there. We have a full board. And we have hundreds of volunteers. And it's really a great day.
Too bad we didn't get you in the local Syracuse St. Paddy's Day Parade, where it was about 5 degrees above.
You know, today we have New York firemen and New York police marching in our parade today. Last year, our floats exceeded the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade in numbers. So we're real proud of it.
You definitely need to get the word out, and I know you're doing it through interviews like this with me, and I certainly appreciate your time, and hopefully we help out. And you mentioned the parade. You know, you would think you could get a lot of free publicity right from insurance companies. You would think they would really gladly promote this for you.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is I started this in 1999. If you go on the internet right now on Google helmets and Google bicycle helmets and Google kids, you'll get all these things where people have bicycle licenses and they give away bicycle helmets. But except for the law firms, we call them ambassadors. We've got some out in Texas. Except for the ambassadors that work with us, there's nobody else in the country doing this. Even though we've been getting the word out, we send out newsletters, we send out email newsletters, we send out hard copy newsletters, we send out, we have a way that we make color cards like you get in Hallmark, we send those out. We do all these events, and I mean, we really, really promote it. We buy and give away helmets by the tens of thousands.
And working with local law enforcement, Howard, I think is a good way too to reach the local community. And I have to think that the law enforcement community would certainly be on board with this program.
Yeah, we have several outreach programs. One of them is a physician outreach where the doctor writes a prescription for a helmet and the kids come and get one.
Mm-hmm.
We have a church outreach, and we have a police outreach. We used to give them helmets to put in the trunk of their car, and we'd say give them a helmet instead of a ticket. But it got to be, you know, if you got some helmets in a guy's car and he needs a medium, he's only got smalls. So what we've done is we've created citations, and the police officer writes a citation and a subpoena ordering them to appear at the Justice for Children Foundation to get a helmet. So we turned it into a really cool thing.
Did I hear you say that doctors can give a prescription for a helmet?
Yeah, it's a tongue-in-cheek thing.
We do take
prescriptions, and they write it, and it says, thank you for being our patient. I hereby prescribe you a helmet to prevent traumatic brain injuries, which are the number one cause of injuries in children under 5, and you can get your helmet. And then so they bring the prescription to our office, and we give them a helmet, and then we register them for their birthday and a free bike and stuff like that.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. We're speaking with Howard Spiva, an advocate for child safety, a trial lawyer as well. And tell me about your book, Winning the Case, before I let you run, Howard.
Yeah, what happened is I constantly see people over the last 33 years. I see people who don't get treated properly because they don't make it to the right lawyer. The lawyer doesn't have the experience. They don't have the resources. They're not willing to go and truly fight for the people. They settle them quick. They settle them cheap. You see a lot of these guys on TV. So I wrote a book, Winning Your Case, 21 Must-Ask Questions Before You Hire Any Lawyer. It's a bestseller on 4 different lists on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $20 if somebody wants to buy a hard copy. It's like $2 if somebody wants to get an e-download of it. And any proceeds go to buying more helmets. I tell anybody if they stop by, I'll give them an autographed copy. And then for today, if anybody calls my office at 912-920-2000 and says that I heard it on the show with Gary Dennis,
mm-hmm.
We will ship them a free book as well. We'd be happy to autograph it for them. So, we just want to get the word out there. And it's not just for personal injury lawyers. It's, people get traffic tickets, parking tickets, bankruptcy, divorce, they're buying a house, they get in a dispute with their neighbor. This helps them know what questions to ask to make sure that they get to a lawyer who can handle what they need.
You know, I ask this all the time. It's a silly question, but obviously it's available at Amazon and the usual locations, Howard?
Yeah, it's on Amazon under legal advice. They also can go to my personal webpage, which is Spiva, SPIVA law.com. From there, they can go to the book order. From there, they can go to the Heads and Helmet Justice for Children. They can get to it from the website. They can ask questions on there. It's all on there and available for them.
Great. Are you on social media as far as
absolutely.
Facebook?
Justice for Children and myself and Spiva Law Group all have Facebook pages, and they're very active, a lot of followers. And they can contact us that way, too, and we'll be glad to get the book sent to them.
Great. Can I have that phone number one more time, just a little more slowly this time, Howard?
Absolutely. It's area code 912, and it's 912-920-2000, or they can visit spivalaw.com.
Great. Having a super conversation. One quick question. If someone's involved in an accident, the child goes to a doctor, does the doctor usually check for a head injury?
Doctors check for head injuries, but unless there's a fractured skull or something
turned up on an
x-ray, head injuries are the most misdiagnosed in the emergency rooms of any injury. The problem is a lot of times injuries are microscopic. It's just like if you punch me in the arm, I'm going to get bruised.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you slam around in the car, even if you don't hit your head or even if you don't lose consciousness, the brain sloshing around inside the skull,
sure,
slams into the back of the skull, slams into the front of the skull, and there's bony edges in there that can cause some microscopic shearing. The problem with kids is the fact that kids don't need their executive functions until they start hitting 7th, 8th, 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so a kid can get a frontal lobe injury or some kind of executive function, and you don't really know it until they start needing those skills in the upper schools. And so it's real, real important for somebody to get to a neuropsychologist or neuropsychiatrist anytime they've had a head injury, a loss of consciousness. And you can watch for mood swings. You can watch for nightmares. You can watch for memory problems. You can watch for word search. I can't think of that word. I can't think of that word. But, yes, it is it's a very common injury, and it's frequently misdiagnosed.
Right. And that's the point I wanted to get out there. And I'm thank you for making it that sometimes the doctors won't check for that head injury, and that's not necessarily their fault. But a parent should maybe ask if they're in an accident that make sure the doctor does check for a head injury.
Yeah. Absolutely. Check the pupils for dilation, take them to a specialist and have them checked out, monitor their behavior really close for the first few days. So
just keep
and if anybody has any questions, if they want to call us, we'll send them materials that they can read to help them with that.
Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Howard Spiva, an advocate for child safety, legal expert, lawyer, nice guy, trying to get the word out, giving away tons of free helmets there. Go to his website. Howard, the last word. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, we just believe that children's injuries are not accidents and that they're completely preventable. And if you want to learn more about it, get a book, or learn more about the Justice for Children Foundation, just go to spivalaw.com, SPIVA law.com. And check out our webpage. You can click over to Heads and Helmet and learn about the charity. And anytime, if anybody has any questions, just give us a call and we can help you find the lawyer that does what you did, what you need. And thanks again for the privilege and the honor, Gary. And make it a great day, buddy.
Thank you, Howard. You too. The same.